أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن خفتم ألا تقسطوا في اليتامى فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع فإن خفتم ألا تعدلوا فواحدة أو ما ملكت أيمانكم ذلك أدنى ألا تعولوا Sadaqallahul Azim. We discussed verse number 3 of Surah An-Nisa. In the previous verse, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala spoke about the rights of the orphan. Continuing, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala speaks about another aspect that was prevalent in the time of Jahiliyyah going into early Islam, and that was Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is the narrator that when a father would pass on and he would leave an orphan girl, and if perchance the guardian was a person that could marry her, in other words, marriage between him and her was permissible, the father would have left her some wealth. In other words, she would have inherited from the father's estate. Alternatively, she would have derived wealth from any other way. Now what would happen is that these men, these guardians would marry these orphan girls not because they wanted to marry them or not because they felt any compatibility or any love between them, but solely because of the wealth that they possessed. Number two, the girl would be orphaned. She was a very weak person or entity in society. She would not be paid her dowry, her meher, or paid very little. Rather than being paid, her assets will be taken away from such a guardian. So hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this, and Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى. And, O guardians, O Muslims, if you fear that you will not act justly with regards to the orphans, here the orphan girls, after you marry them, or at the time of marriage, you are not going to fulfill their rights with regards to the meher, with regards to the maintenance, with regards to the wealth and property that they have. So Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that in one particular incident was a young girl who had a share in a fruit orchard. And obviously the guardian's, his eyes was on the orchard, rather on the girl herself. And in that instance, his marriage to her would have been to acquire her wealth, usurp her wealth, rather than paying her her dowry and giving her her haq. And hence Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed this verse with regards to that incident. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that you have these type of fears. Do not marry such girls because you are going to make zulm upon her. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ. Then marry such girls that you like or that are permissible for you, مِنَ النِّسَى, of the other woman that will be permissible from the Muslim woman, مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَى, twos, threes or fours. In other words, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala did not confine you, Allah Ta'ala did not restrict you insofar as marriage is concerned. The restrictions are very, very limited, like a person cannot marry his own parents or his own sister or his own daughter, aunts, etc. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had limited that, the muharramat, those women that are prohibited, those are very limited. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has widened the scope for you to marry women. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has also widened the scope insofar as the numbers are concerned. At the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only prevalent in the Arab peninsula, but through the other societies, it was prevalent that men would marry more than one woman. Men would marry multiple women, and in that way, there used to be many, many women that used to be married by one person and one individual. Here, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala now kept the number, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had kept it to four. A person by the name of Ghailan bin Aslami al-Thaqafi, he had come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He embraced the deen of Islam. And at the time when he embraced the deen of Islam, at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had had 10 wives. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had known about it. So immediately on him embracing Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from them choose 4 and the others you will have to release. There were other instances. Qayt ibn al-Harith, for example, he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He embraced Islam, and at that time he had 8 wives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, choose 4 and release 4. So it was prevalent in the community, in the society, other communities, other societies. The Bible has spoken about it, the Torah has spoken about it. So this was prevalent, and hence Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now kept that number to 4, and it will not exceed 4. Obviously, in the case of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beyond the scope of this verse, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to give ta'lim and educate this ummah. And obviously, one important aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be the domesticated life of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, his life within the four walls and the confines of his home. And because it was so in detail, because it was so enlightening, it was not possible for one woman to narrate the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And hence Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had granted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission for in excess of this 4 over and above. Otherwise, there are other reasons, but otherwise for the ummah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then limited and restricted it to 4. Then Allah ta'ala says, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ, that if you fear, Allah ta'adilu, that you will not be able to do justice with regards to more than one wife, فَوَاحِدَةً, then one wife will be sufficient, then you marry one and you do justice to her. Or if that is not the case, O ma malakat aymanukum, then in those days, the days of slavery, it was permissible for a person to cohabit with one slave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that that will be sufficient for you, but you cannot marry more and then do injustice. But together with all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes and on, and Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَدَنَا أَلَّا تَعُولُ, that that is more likelier that you will not commit any zulm and you will not oppress. Now here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought about another aspect. It does not mean that if a person has married just one wife, then that person will not commit zulm. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is closer, it is more likelier that even if a person has married one wife, then also he has to fulfill her rights insofar as her maintenance are concerned and all the other rights. So hence here in this verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses the issue at hand with regards to the orphan girls, that despite the fact that they may be a very weak sector of the community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the haq, the right, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors with regards to marriage. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has showed us what is permissible and what is impermissible. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.